Welcome back to CyberShield Weekly, the podcast that turns the week's most dangerous cybersecurity threats into clear, actionable intelligence for your business. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sarah. It is Tuesday, August 4th, 2026, and we are recording episode 45. Alex, this is a heavy week.
It really is. We have got a Chinese state-linked threat actor deploying mobile malware using a leaked exploit kit, a major law enforcement database breach that put police contact data on the dark web, an enterprise IT management platform that got hacked twice because the first patch did not work, and a DNA software vulnerability that could make file tampering nearly invisible.
Plus, we are going to talk about how small businesses can actually survive and recover from a ransomware attack. And we have a great perspective from Daniel Ramos and Intelligent Automation on the AI in the SOC debate that everyone in security is having right now.
Big week. Let us get into it.
Let us go.
All right. Let's start with the story that has the most immediate implications for any organization that issues iPhones to employees. A Chinese threat actor, currently unidentified, has been running an active campaign targeting Apple iOS devices. The weapon they are using is called Ghostblade. And here's what makes this particularly alarming. They did not build their own tools from scratch. They used a leaked version of something called the Dark Sword Exploit Kit.
Right. So let me break that down, because exploit kit and Ghostblade are terms that deserve a real explanation. An exploit kit is essentially a pre-packaged toolkit for cybercriminals. Think of it like a burglary kit you can buy. It already has the tools, the instructions, the known weaknesses it targets. Normally, these are developed and sold privately in criminal markets. Dark Sword was one of those private kits. Someone leaked it. Now anyone can use it.
And the phrase "anyone can use it" is exactly what should concern business owners. This is not just state-sponsored attackers with unlimited budgets. Once a kit leaks, the barrier to entry collapses.
Exactly. And Ghostblade is the malware, the malicious software, that this actor is deploying through the Dark Sword kit onto iOS devices. The access surface management firm Sensis identified more than 100 web properties being operated by this threat actor as part of the campaign. That is a significant coordinated operation.
So what does this mean for a 50-person company that hands iPhones to its sales team or executives?
It means those devices are a target. Here is what to do right now. First, if you have high-risk users, executives, finance staff, anyone with access to sensitive data, enable lockdown mode on their iPhones. Lockdown mode is a setting built into iOS that restricts a lot of the functionality that these exploit kits abuse. It is a little inconvenient, but it is worth it for your highest value targets.
Where do you find that setting?
Settings, privacy and security, scroll to the bottom, lockdown mode. Turn it on, the phone will restart. Done.
Second step?
Audit your MDM policies. MDM stands for Mobile Device Management. That is the system your IT team or IT vendor uses to manage and enforce rules on company phones. Make sure every company-issued iPhone is enrolled, that automatic iOS updates are enforced, and that you have the ability to remotely wipe a device if it is compromised. If you do not have an MDM solution, that is a conversation to have with your IT provider this week, not next month.
And check for iOS updates right now. If there is a patch available, install it today. Do not wait for your regular maintenance window on something like this.
Correct. Move quickly on mobile.
Next story. The Police National Legal Database in the United Kingdom, the PNLD, has confirmed a data breach. Police officer names, work email addresses, organizational affiliations, government contact details, all of it ended up on the dark web. This hit law enforcement, government agencies, criminal justice professionals, legal services staff.
And this one is a masterclass in what security professionals call data minimization, meaning you should only collect, store, and retain the data you absolutely need. The PNLD breach is a reminder that sensitive contact databases are high-value targets. Think about what your own organization stores: employee directories, customer contact lists, vendor databases. If that information were exfiltrated and published, what would the impact be?
For a small business, the immediate lesson is this: not every database needs to be connected to everything else. Compartmentalization, keeping sensitive data in isolated systems with restricted access, limits the blast radius when a breach happens.
And right now, if your business stores any sensitive personnel data, run a quick audit. Who has access to that data? Is it more people than need it? Can you reduce that? These are not expensive fixes. They are policy decisions.
Let us talk about Enable and CVE-2026-18577. This one is significant for any business that uses a managed service provider, because this vulnerability lives in the tools your MSP uses to manage your systems.
So NCentral is an IT management platform.
manage service providers, MSPs, use it to remotely monitor and manage their clients' computers, servers, and networks. If you outsource your IT provider almost certainly uses a platform like this. The vulnerability, CVE-2026-18577, is an authentication bypass. That means an attacker can get into the system without needing a password. And once they are in N-Central, they have access to every customer environment that MSP manages.
And here's what makes this story particularly frustrating. N-able issued a first fix. Attackers exploited it anyway because the fix was incomplete. They then shipped build 2026.3.1.7 as the actual working patch.
The lesson here is that version 2026.3.1.7 is the number your IT provider needs to confirm they are running. Call them, email them, ask specifically, are you on N-Central build 2026.3.1.7? If they hesitate, that is a problem.
And this is a perfect example of why you need to subscribe to your vendor's security advisories. Not just set it and forget it on patches, but actively verify that the patches are working and complete.
Incomplete patches happen more often than people think. The first fix closes the obvious door. Attackers find the window they left open.
Fourth story. This one is a bit different, but it matters. Thermo Fisher Scientific patched a vulnerability in their Applied Biosystems human identification software. This is forensic DNA analysis software used in law enforcement, research, and clinical settings. The flaw allowed attackers to alter DNA data files, specifically .fsa and .hid file formats, before the analysis software loads them, and those changes would be nearly undetectable.
The reason this matters beyond the obvious forensic integrity issue is what it signals about the expanding attack surface. An attack surface is every possible way an attacker can get into or manipulate your systems and data. Most business owners think about attack surfaces in terms of email phishing or ransomware. But this is a reminder that data integrity, meaning whether your data has been altered, is also a security concern.
Thermo Fisher published their security bulletin on July 31st. If your organization uses Applied Biosystems human identification software, patch it now and verify the integrity of your data pipelines. Scientific and operational data is not immune.
And the broader principle for any business, verify checksums on critical data. A checksum is like a digital fingerprint for a file. If the file is altered, the checksum changes. Many industries are not doing this routinely, and they should be.
All right, let us move to government alerts. CISA and the Internet Storm Center have flagged several things this week that deserve your attention.
The one I want to spend time on is the AMMO Stealer, Atomic Mac OS Stealer. This is an info stealer, malware specifically designed to quietly harvest information from your computer, passwords, browser cookies, cryptocurrency wallets, sensitive files. It targets Mac computers, which is relevant because a lot of small businesses have shifted to Mac environments and have a false sense of security that Macs do not get malware.
Macs absolutely get malware.
They do, and AMMOS is a well-documented example. The infection typically arrives through malicious software downloads, fake apps, pirated software, compromised download links. The defense is layered. Do not download software from unofficial sources. Run endpoint detection software on your Macs. CrowdStrike Falcon, SentinelOne, Malwarebytes for Teams all have Mac coverage. And train your employees to be skeptical of any software download that did not come from your IT team or an official app store.
The second alert worth flagging is the phishing campaigns specifically targeting AI solutions providers. This is a shift in targeting that reflects where the money and attention is flowing right now. Attackers are impersonating AI vendors and platforms to steal credentials.
The mechanism is familiar. You get an email that looks like it is from your AI vendor. It creates urgency around losing access or a billing problem. You click a link, you enter your credentials, they are stolen. But the targeting is specific. If your company is purchasing or evaluating AI tools right now, your staff may be more susceptible to an email that appears to come from one of those vendors because the vendor relationship is top of mind.
Verify. Before clicking any link in an email about your AI platform or any software vendor, go directly to the vendor's website by typing the address yourself. Do not click the email link.
Simple, effective, free.
Which brings us to the small business corner. This week, Sarah, I want to talk about something that does not get enough airtime for small businesses, what happens after the attack.
Right.
because we spend so much time on prevention, and prevention is absolutely the priority. But statistically, a meaningful percentage of businesses listening to this podcast right now will experience a significant cyber incident in the next 12 months. And if you have not thought about recovery before it happens, you are going to be in chaos when it does.
The UK National Cybersecurity Center released new guidance this week on helping organizations recover from highly disruptive cyber incidents. Let us walk through what that means practically for a 50-person company.
Three things. First, know who to call before you need to call them. Have a cyber incident response contact ready. That might be your IT provider, a dedicated incident response firm, or your cyber insurance carrier's emergency line. Write that number down. Put it somewhere physical, not just in a document on your network, because if you are hit with ransomware, you may not be able to access your network.
That is such a good point. Your incident response plan should not live only on the systems that might be encrypted.
Second thing, know what your backups look like right now, not what you think they look like. Actually verify this week that your backups are current, that they are stored offline or off-network, meaning an attacker who gets into your systems cannot also encrypt your backups, and that you have tested a restore at least once in the last 6 months. A backup you have never tested is a hope, not a plan.
And third?
Have a communication plan. If your systems go down, how do you reach your customers? How do you reach your employees? Do you have a secondary communication channel? A group text thread, a personal email list, anything that does not depend on your corporate infrastructure. Downtime is one damage. Silence and confusion multiply that damage significantly.
Practical, affordable, no technology purchase required for any of those three things.
Exactly. This is policy and planning work, not a budget item.
All right, tech tip of the week. And I want to walk through something that is directly connected to this week's Enable story. We are talking about how to verify that your IT provider or managed service provider is actually staying current on patches for the tools they use to manage your systems.
Because here is the uncomfortable truth. Most business owners trust their IT provider completely and never ask these questions. And most IT providers are doing a great job. But the Enable story is a reminder that you should have visibility into this, not just trust.
So here is the tip. It is a conversation, not a configuration change. Email your IT provider or MSP this week with three specific questions. 1. What remote management platform do you use to manage our systems? 2. Are you currently running the latest security patched version of that platform? For InCentral specifically, that is build 2026.3.1.7. 3. How do you receive and act on security advisories from your vendors?
If they answer quickly, specifically, and confidently, great. That is the response you want. If they are vague, or if they push back on the question is unnecessary, that is information you need to have.
And a good IT provider will welcome this question. It shows you are engaged. It signals that you are a security-conscious client who holds vendors accountable.
You can also ask for documentation. Ask to see their patch management policy in writing. Any reputable MSP will have one.
One email, three questions. Could close a very significant exposure if the answer is not the right one.
Do it today.
All right, CTO's desk. Daniel Ramos from Intelligent Automation had a lot to say this week, and his framing on the AI and the SOC debate is something I want to dig into because it is directly relevant to where a lot of organizations are right now.
This is the conversation that every security leader is having. AI is moving at an extraordinary pace, and there is real pressure from boards, from executives, from the industry to adopt AI and security operations. And platforms like Claude, Codex, and Cursor are already being used by security teams to write detection rules, investigate alerts, summarize incident reports, automate repetitive tasks.
Daniel's framing on this was sharp. He said, and I love this analogy, treating AI as your entire security strategy is like hiring Clippy to guard Fort Knox.
Which is funny, but also precise. These tools are genuinely powerful for augmentation. Alert fatigue is a real and serious problem in security operations. Analysts are drowning in notifications, many of which are false positives. AI can help triage that noise significantly.
But the judgment calls, the escalations, the decisions about whether something is a real threat requiring a real response, those still require human expertise and accountability.
And for small businesses who do not have a full security operations center, the question is, how do I benefit from AI tools without over-relying on them? The answer is to use AI to reduce the administrative burden on whoever is responsible for security in your organization, whether that is an internal IT person, an MSP, or a part-time security consultant. Use it to draft policies, summarize advisories, generate checklists. Do not use it as a replacement for actual security expertise on a real incident.
Daniel also flagged the Russian Laundry Bear campaign this week, a zero-click phishing operation targeting Western organizations. Zero-click means the victim does not have to click anything. The attack executes just by receiving a message or loading a page.
GCHQ's National Cybersecurity Center and international partners formally attributed this campaign this week and issued an advisory. For small businesses, the relevance is this. If a state-sponsored threat actor targets your industry or your clients in the public sector, you can be collateral damage even if you are not the primary target. Supply chain proximity matters.
And Daniel's point about the PNLD breach and data minimization connects here too. If your organization stores data that a threat actor would value, government contract details, law enforcement contacts, sensitive client information, you need to treat that data with the same care as your financial records. Strict access controls, compartmentalization, encryption at rest.
The post-quantum cryptography note from this week is also worth a quick mention in this context. Post-quantum cryptography, PQC, refers to encryption methods designed to withstand attacks from quantum computers, which are becoming increasingly capable. The UK NCSC ran a migration workshop, and the key takeaway was that no organization can navigate this migration alone. If you have not had a conversation with your IT or security advisor about your encryption posture and where quantum computing risk sits on your timeline, that conversation should happen in the next quarter.
This is not a next year problem. It is a plan now to execute over the next 2 years problem.
And Daniel closed with something I want to echo. Subscribe to your vendor's security advisories. Every major software vendor has a security advisory mailing list. It is free. It takes 5 minutes to sign up. And it means you are not finding out about critical vulnerabilities and incomplete patches from a newsletter or a podcast 2 weeks after the fact.
Be ahead of it, not behind it.
Always.
All right. Let us bring it home. 3 takeaways from this week.
Number 1. Mobile devices are active targets right now. The Ghostblade campaign targeting iOS is real, coordinated, and backed by a threat actor running over 100 web properties. If your employees use iPhones, enforce MDM, enable lockdown mode for high-risk users, and make sure iOS is fully updated today.
Number 2. Verify your IT provider's patch status on CVE-2026-18577. In Central Build 2026.3.1.7 is the fixed version. Your MSP needs to be on it. Send that email today. 3 questions. Do not assume the patch happened. Confirm it.
And number 3, recovery planning is not optional. Before the next incident, write down your incident response contact, verify your backups are current and offline, and establish a secondary communication channel. These steps cost nothing and could be the difference between a bad week and a business-ending event.
That is CyberShield Weekly for the week of August 3rd, 2026. If this episode was useful to you, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever you are listening right now. Leave us a review if you have a minute. Share this episode with a colleague or a business owner who needs to hear it.
We work hard to make this practical and actionable for real organizations, and the best way to grow this community is word of mouth from listeners like you.
We will see you next Tuesday. Stay sharp, stay protected.
Stay safe out there.